in the morning when you need the news that matters most.
My news team, thank God.
You need the front page.
Y'all gonna get down, and Wesley Jackson and the MTV News crew went in.
What's MTV?
On the press box.
What about the French-speaking Quebec news? The real voice of Canada.
Give it a rest, eh?
Give me a break. They can't have news. Nothing happens in Canada.
With Graney and Bischoff.
The Las Vegas Aces beat the Washington Mystics on Saturday. I don't know why I ruined Mystics there, but they beat them. Aces dominated the fourth quarter 21-8 to win that game. Yep. And have now won four straight. They're back. However, Asia Wilson held under 20 points for the first time this season. It's the first like truly bad game she's had. Shot 4-15. It's the only time she shot under 40% the entire season. She like has not had a bad game until this one. Her worst game, she shot 8 of 20, still scored 29 because she had like 12 free throws.
Well, that might be a good thing, though, because finally they win a game where she doesn't have to do everything because she's been carrying the entire team the entire season. So.
Chelsea Gray had her best offensive game. She scored 22 on 8 of 9 shooting from the floor. That's the first time she's hit 20 points. She's only played four games. They've won all four since Chelsea Gray has been back. So they're playing much better. They've won four straight, and they've beaten some decent teams in that run as well. Danny, what happened to the Mystics? They were winning in this game.
They stopped shooting threes.
They were winning.
Yeah, I know. They hit 10 in the first half and then only attempted one for the first, like, 8 minutes of the third quarter.
Well, that could be defensive, you know, defense from the Aces, though, if they saw them just bombing threes and then all of a sudden they change it up a little bit.
Yeah, but you go to shoot from 16 in the first half to one in a quarter, that's a huge difference.
Go Aces.
Sure. Did you watch the game, Greg?
Of course. Kidding? Yeah. Actually, I went to bed really early yesterday because I knew I had to get up early.
This is on Saturday at like noon.
Oh, I was drunk.
By the way, the last team to hold Asia under 20 points was the Mystics last year.
Was it? Wow. They got the August. Asia stopper.
Yeah, and they play again Thursday.
Wow, this is going to be bad news for Asia Wilson.
And it's here.
Aces winning
it
all.
Thank you.
Jamarcus Russell was fired as a high school football coach from Williamson High School in Mobile, Alabama, which is where he went to high school. There is a lawsuit that alleges that Jamarcus Russell approached a business owner asking him to donate some money so they could get new equipment for the weight room, and that Jamarcus Russell got this $74,000 check from this guy and deposited it into his own account and then withdrew $55,000 immediately.
Scissor.
He actually got fired last fall. This is not a new firing, but the reason it's in the news is that Jamarcus Russell apparently showed up to the high school for some event.
Right.
And the high school said, we don't want you here. You cannot be here. This is where he went to school. He graduated from this high school. This is where he went to school. And they're so mad at him that they're like, get the hell out of here. You cannot be here for whatever this event was, because he allegedly stole a $74,000 check that was there for the weight room.
I kind of feel bad for him, because do we know anything about his life anymore? I know he had some problems with addiction and stuff at one point that he had said.
I have not heard anything recently about him other than he was a high school football coach, which
I'm not trying to allege anything, just from past experience though. Like, this sounds like addict behavior, you know, like somebody that's got a problem.
Stealing $74,000.
Yeah, or stealing anything.
And immediately withdrawing $55,000.
Right. I mean, this sounds like somebody that's got an issue going on or something, man. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you steal $74,000. There is some issue going on there. What are you doing?
It's like not enough to steal to where, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it just seems like something, I don't know, that somebody with some issues going on would do. Like, it doesn't seem like a plot that, like, you go out and make this big, huge plot. It was almost like,
to make $74,000.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, I just found a way to get some extra money to, you know, continue my whatever I'm doing. Yeah.
So, Jamarcus Russell fired from Mobile, Alabama High School, Williamson High School.
Can he still throw a football from his knees 70 yards?
Good question. I'm going to guess no. Yeah. Maybe 60 yards.
All right.
That should replace field goals. Quarterback throw from your knees. Can you throw it through the uprights from however far away
you are? That would be fun.
Right? It'd be way better than field goals.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
I'm on board.
That's a great, great question.
Brandon Ayuk said he could see himself as a Commander or a Steeler. So Ayuk was on the Pivot podcast. He was asked what uniform he could be in next season. And Ayuk said, if I were to take a guess, probably a Niner uniform. Probably a Niner. If not Niners, probably a Washington Commanders uniform. If not the Washington Commanders, a Steelers uniform. So Ayuk is entering the final year of his rookie contract. He wants a new deal. The team has not obviously given him the deal that he wants. That's where this friction has been coming from for months now. This has been a storyline. But he has identified two teams that he would like to play for if it's not the San Francisco 49ers.
Who does that, though? Like, just say
this
you don't.
This isn't even the weirdest thing he did.
I know, but
He posted to TikTok a phone call of him and Jaden Daniels being like, the Niners don't want me anymore.
I know.
That's even weirder.
If I'm the Niners, I get rid of this dude, honestly. He's not worth it, man. Like, because he's going to do it the next team, too. If he doesn't like what's going on over there, he's going to do exactly the same thing.
You could get one more year out of him.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like getting emotional over it. And far be it for me to defend the Niners because I think they're the whiniest crybabies in the world. But
well, do you think, like, based on this, Ayuk being a weirdo in the offseason?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, oh, he's going to, like, sit out games or he's going to not try his hardest? Because if you think that, then yes, you should absolutely get rid of him. But I would tend to think, without knowing him, but I would tend to think,
yeah,
he's not happy with his contract situation. But he's still going to play. Like, he's still going to try. He's still going to be on the field. He's still going to be an awesome wide receiver. So if we want to get rid of him, we'll just have him play out his contract and go from there.
But once you got a guy that you can't really trust, like a guy that's not going to keep things in-house or that's going to go out there and say weird things, I just feel like let's get him out of here. Like, I don't know. That's just me. But
yeah, I don't think you're wrong in the sense that things can go
I do
wrong
think he'll
poorly.
Play.
Yeah, but, yeah, play. The thing with the 49ers is they're contenders this year, so – even if they were to lose Ayuk for nothing, it's still probably worth it to keep him on the roster for this year and go for a Super Bowl. Also, Brock Purdy's going to get paid eventually. I think he's extension eligible for an extension next offseason.
Yeah.
So it does kind of fit into a, hey, who do they want to keep / get rid of, because they can't have two high-paid receivers, a high-paid running back, a high-paid left tackle, and three high-paid defensive players when your quarterback is going to make 50 or whatever he's going to get.
Let me ask you this, though. Is there a chance that they don't give Brock Purdy a huge contract? Because you can pretty much plug and play, from what we've watched, anybody in that offense.
I would, like, if it were me in the 40, if I was running the 49ers, yeah, I would have, like, genuine discussions to make that decision. From all the reporting that we've read, it doesn't sound like they're even going to consider it. It sounds like he's getting the contract, like, it's going to get done. But I would, because he's been a good quarterback, but the main reason he's valuable is that he's been, you know, the 10th best quarterback in the league while making
no money.
$900,000. Right. As soon as you pay him $50 million, that's not very good for the 9th best quarterback in the league, because you're talking about Jared Goff or something like
right.
that. He'll still be good, but it's not going to be this awesome value that they've gotten.
Next question.
The Pistons are hiring J.B. Bickerstaff as their head coach. So Detroit fired Monty Williams after 1 year. They still owe him $60-plus million. Bickerstaff just got fired by the Cavaliers. He was there for 5 years, made the playoffs twice. It was actually the last two seasons. Won one playoff series. That was actually this year, so he got fired after his most successful year. But in 8 seasons total as a head coach, Bickerstaff has won 47% of his games. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I think Monty Williams is a great coach. I think he's fine. I think a lot of people get more excited about him than they should. But why would you fire Monty Williams, pay him $60 million just to hire J.B. Bickerstaff?
Yeah, well, to be fair to Bickerstaff, he's a lot of rebuilding years, too, in there.
Yeah.
I think. You know, it wasn't like he was taking over teams that were super talented or anything. But, yeah, I don't get it either. The Monty Williams thing to me is weird. I feel like there's something behind the scenes we don't know because,
probably,
you know, the two teams in that short of time and having kind of success at one of them, it seems kind of odd to me that there has to be something going on.
And the Pistons eating $60 million to
right,
get rid of him.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If you were eating $60 million and it was like, oh, we're going to steal Eric Spoelstra from the
right.
Heat.
Right.
You'd be like, all right. To eat $60 million on Monty Williams just to hire J.B. Bickerstaff seems like, what the hell are you doing?
Just
keep Monty Williams around.
It seemed like it was so unattainable that they just had to get rid of him at all costs.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's
going on.
You
might be right.
There
might be something there that it's just like all the players were like, I hate this guy.
Right.
I can't stand to be around him. But we don't think we got reports of that either. So
not really. With the Suns a little bit, but not with
– yeah.
No.
So I don't know. They were very, very bad this past season, but – they were going to be bad anyways. It's
right.
not like he turned a playoff contender into a bad team.
He
turned like a maybe a 25-win team into like a 16-win team.
Right.
Like, it's not good, but who cares?
Next question.
You watch WWE?
I haven't in a while.
Okay. Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson were in the ring at WWE SmackDown.
I saw this.
So it was at Madison Square Garden. Oh God, is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul? One of them.
Which one? The one. One of them looks like Princess Diana. Whichever
one's in WWE. I don't know which one it is.
I'm assuming it's Logan Paul.
All right. Okay. He walks out and Tyrese Halliburton is with him. But it's at Madison Square Garden and Jalen Brunson is sitting courtside or ringside. And as Halliburton's like walking around the ring, they stop and stare at each other. And then eventually, when there's a fight in the ring, Halliburton for some reason is in the ring. And Jalen Brunson jumps up from his seat, grabs a chair, and slides into the ring as well. They don't actually do anything but stare each other down because it's wrestling. And well, can you imagine the Pacers and Knicks if Brunson and Halliburton started punching each other?
Well, that was the thing, is that a lot of Knicks fans were going nuts because there was a still shot of Jalen coming in with his hurt hand and like pressing it against the mat with his fingers all bent backwards, and they were all freaking out, and he had to tweet out that he was fine and shut up.
And Brunson also tweeted out a dream came true type of moment for him, so good for him. That's the most WWE I've watched in my entire life, though.
Yeah, I've watched it when I was a kid, like with Zeus and all that stuff. It was WWF back then, though.
You look like somebody that watched wrestling as a kid.
Yeah, cool. We all did, though, back then. You weren't a kid then.
I wasn't.
Man, you know, that's a great question.
The Indiana Pacers signed Obi Toppin to a 4-year deal worth $60 million, which means the Pacers are essentially running it back after making the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they do have a little bit of space if they wanted to make one more move, but they've effectively just brought back their roster they had in the postseason. They traded for Pascal Siakam midseason, so it's, you know, they'll have a full season of Siakam as opposed to sort of 40% of a season. They made the Conference Finals. Lost, got swept. Three of those games really close. Probably should have won at least one, if not all three of those games that were close. Are the Pacers a legit contender in the East?
Yes.
You think so?
Well,
are they? Okay. Throw the Celtics away because they're so good. Are the Pacers as good as or a contender with the Knicks, the Sixers, the Bucks, whoever else you want to put in that sort of second category?
Yeah. If we're talking health, I'd say they're better than the Sixers because, again, I don't believe that Embiid's going to be healthy in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, and if they were an older team, I would say staying put's probably stupid. But they're so young.
They're unbelievably young.
Yeah, that it's, you know, I remember going – we actually talked about this, if you remember, but going into last season that they were a young team that might actually do something. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea. Keep the core together. They had some injuries, too, where they could even – you know, they could have been even better. So, I think they're fine.
Yeah, they lost Halliburton in that conference final. They also – Benedict Mathurin was their first-round pick a couple years ago and was, like, their best bench scorer. He did not play at all in the postseason. Now – That's nothing compared to what the Knicks dealt with and the Bucks dealt with as far as injuries, but they can in theory be better than they were. I'm curious to see, they're great offensively, ton of fun to watch offensively. We're the second best offense in the league this year, but they were like 27th in defensive efficiency. They're just horrific on that end. So I think there's a very clear ceiling that they cannot win a title because their defense is so bad. Maybe it improves as they get older.
That's what I was going to say.
Siakam's there. But I do think the biggest problem is Tyrese Halliburton's their best offensive player. He's a horrific defender. It's very similar to the Luka situation where he's awesome, but on one end of the floor. So I don't think the Pacers will ever have a truly like good defense with Halliburton just because he's a big issue, but you're not going to take him off the floor.
Another problem I think is, too, is that people are sleeping on the Bucks. They forget about Giannis like he died or something. I mean, when the guy's healthy, the Bucks are going to be there.
I think Giannis, in theory, could carry them. I think they're screwed because of Damian Lillard.
Screwed how?
He's a terrible defender,
Well, he is, yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't know how many more great offensive years you have out of him. Like, I think the Bucks losing Jrue Holiday changed the – like, and they wanted to because they wanted that second scorer.
Right.
But it changed what that team was as far as Giannis is our offensive playmaker, everybody around him shoots, and everybody on the floor is an elite defender. That last year – was the first year since Giannis has been there that the Bucks finished in the bottom half of the league in defensive efficiency. Like, that Giannis is a freak defensively.
Yeah.
And they finished as a below-average defensive
team. But he also
team.
Wasn't very healthy.
True. But, like, for them to be below average, I think, is a pretty bad sign for their chances to actually win something.
Yeah.
But they do have Giannis, and that guy can be incredible.
I'm taking a team with Giannis on over the Pacers.
Yes. I don't necessarily disagree with that part of it. Now, the Pacers running might get Giannis hurt again.
Right.
Like, he's like, oh, you better get running, boy. Like, let's go. We're running up and down the floor. All right, coming up next, we're going to stick with the NBA.
Live from the Findlay Toyota ESPN Las Vegas studios, this is the Press Box with Graney and Bischoff on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, he still didn't put it in.
Featuring Greg Salerno.
There it is.
He's ready to go. Kind of, not really. Greg Salerno's in for Ed Graney this morning. NBA free agency is underway. Paul George is a 76er. LeBron James is not technically a Laker at the moment. He opted out of his contract. He would have had 1 year worth $51.4 million left. He is planning to stay with the Lakers. There have been reports that he is willing to take a pay cut in order to do so. That would allow the Lakers to sign another player. Before we get into what the Lakers are going to do or could do, LeBron James is going to turn 40 during the season next year. They just drafted Bronny, his son, so his son's there. He's coming off a year in which he averaged 25.7 points, 8.3 assists, and 7.3 rebounds and played 71 games, which is the most he's played since 2017-2018. How many more years do you think LeBron James is going to play?
Two.
So do you think it's a two-year contract he signs with the Lakers?
I think he might sign a series of one-year contracts, honestly. Knowing that dude.
How do you treat Bronny? I might be out of here after 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't. Because, I mean, if something had happened, let's say he doesn't win a championship this year, which is unlikely. I mean, I don't know. I think they have a possibility. But I probably think they can more than other people can, but it's still not likely. Then maybe a team opens up next year where it's like a ready-made roster, and he's like, dude, I need a chip. I need to get another chip. He doesn't want to be locked in with the Lakers.
He's going to sign with the Pacers.
There you go.
I'd guess two is probably a good number to put it at.
Yeah.
I know he's eligible. The biggest contract he can sign is a three-year deal.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, if the Lakers don't add anybody else, he just signs a three-year, the max he can sign for, and plays out that and is done. The one-year contract, though, I think is probably more likely as to what he signs, even if he plans to just stay in L.A. the entire time. He'd probably, you know, if he takes a pay cut, 1 year deal for a pay cut, and then they suck, and he's like, all right, this was stupid. Give me all the money I can get.
Right. Or the other way around, if they can't do something this year, maybe next year he could take a pay cut and then, you know, go around that way.
The combination of this is that the Warriors are not keeping Klay Thompson. Mark Stein reported that the Mavericks, Clippers, and Lakers are all interested. Thompson's 34. He did shoot 39% from three last year, averaged 18 points per game. You are much higher on Klay Thompson and what he's going to add to a team than I am.
Depends on the team. I think that he's the perfect guy to fit with LeBron. I think that if he's healthy, which I think he should be by now, he's a little better. He's not going to be the two-way player anymore, but they don't need that. They need a guy who can shoot. And when you're in a close game and have a 20-point lead against the Nuggets in a playoff game, a guy who's not going to score 0 points. And I think that LeBron – as a third option, he'd be fine. He's the perfect guy to put next to LeBron. AD's the perfect big next to LeBron, and I think a guy like Klay is the perfect guy next to LeBron, offensively.
I think he could do better than that. I know there's not a better available, but I don't think
Who are they going to trade for?
I don't think he's the perfect guy to put.
Well, okay, I'm saying the guy out there that is available.
I think I'd just go with Dalton Connect. Like, if the goal is to get somebody that can shoot.
He's a rookie, though.
I'm just going with Dalton Connect. That's fine. Who cares?
But usually it takes a while for a rookie to become.
He's old. He's 23.
All right.
He played in college for like 7 years. He's 23. Like, that's probably the biggest knock on them drafting Dalton Connect is that he is 23. Like, normally, if you draft a kid that's 18 or 19, you're like, all right, he could get a lot better in the next 4 years. Connect probably is who he is. Like, there's probably going to be some rookie growing pains, but by his second year, that'll probably be who Dalton Connect is as a player. So if that's what you're looking for, I'd rather just have Dalton Connect.
Well, then you have both, though.
Yeah, but one of them's going to get benched, and you're going to be paying them $30 million.
All right, so let's say LeBron takes a pay cut. Then who do you trade for, or who do you sign with that money?
Who's available? Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, of course.
Just go all in.
There's no way that they're going to – of the Cavs of all teams, they're not trading anybody to the Lakers.
What? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope just signed with the Magic.
Yeah. Did Bruce Brown already sign?
I thought Bruce Brown had an extra year on his contract. Was he a free agent?
I don't know. I thought he was. Maybe.
I know he left to go to Indiana, and they gave him a big deal, and then they traded him to Toronto.
Because I mean, he would be a kind of player, but yeah, if he's not available, then
like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I would have preferred to Klay Thompson.
He was already a Laker.
He's already gone. Yeah, and?
And he stunk.
Well, he's better than Klay Thompson.
No, I'm saying on the Lakers, he stunk.
Yeah, but he's better than Klay Thompson now.
No.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think
so. I would rather have him than Klay Thompson.
If you have a guy taking a shot with a game on the line, you'd rather have it be Bruce Brown.
The game's not going to be on the line.
Than Kentavious. Why?
Because Klay Thompson can't play defense, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can't.
I take Klay.
I don't think I want Klay. If Klay Thompson is going to sign for like $10 million, then absolutely. But if Klay Thompson is going to get whatever the hell he's going to get, $30 million a year, I don't know what that number is.
Well, who
be.
Knows what's true these days, but supposedly he's talked about taking like 13 or so if he could join.
If he's going to sign 13, absolutely. I got that's because that's nothing. Damn near every player in the league is worth 13. Obi Toppin just signed for 15.
Right.
Obi Toppin's making more money than any hockey player in the NHL.
Yeah.
So if, okay. If Klay Thompson's going to sign for $13 million, no problem with that. Absolutely. Well, every team in the league should want to do that.
Right.
For $13 million.
But apparently he only do it for certain teams. Now, supposedly, and again, this is, I mean, who knows what's real and not on the free agency news, but supposedly LeBron called him and they had a conversation.
Tampering.
So you got to think that LeBron said, hey, man, I'll take whatever less money we need to get you on here. And he's like, all right, maybe I'll take this and we can work it out. Because then they could still add another piece.
Hey, LeBron supposedly did not talk to J.J. Redick about the Lakers coaching job before J.J. took that job.
Or Hurley, and then Hurley's like, yeah, LeBron texted me over the weekend.
Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out on Friday that the Raptors are picking up Bruce Brown's $23 million contract.
All right,
an option.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah. I thought it was a multi-year deal for Bruce Brown because he cashed in. He had the good year. They won the title, and the Nuggets were like, we don't have any room to sign you. And he's like, all right, the Pacers are going to give me $20-plus million.
Right.
And the Pacers are like, well, that was a mistake. We'll see you later.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all matchups, though, and how a team fits. I just think certain guys fit around LeBron, like, better than others. Or LeBron can get something out of a guy that other teams maybe can't.
I mean, in theory, LeBron gets something out of everybody. That's why he's
– LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's made him – great in his entire career is he can fit around basically any other player.
It's true.
Yes, shooting is important and you need that. I'd rather have Klay Thompson than a guy who's going to shoot 6% from three.
Well,
like, I don't want Russell Westbrook on
right,
the team.
But you also, if you want a guy who's been, you know, and I hate these terms, but the battle tested.
Oh, he's a veteran. He's been through it.
Like,
he knows what it takes to win.
I don't think he'll completely disappear like a D'Lo would against the Nuggets.
He might. Nuggets. The Warriors didn't even get out of the play-in this year. A bunch of bums.
I know. He did score 0 points in the game. Everybody was killing him. But that was on the Warriors.
Oh, it'll be different on the Lakers.
It would.
They got so much. They're so much better.
They got LeBron.
They're basically the same team.
No. You got two guys looking for the same shot on the Warriors.
You had two teams that were in the play-in last year. They both kind of suck.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson does not make a huge difference for either
one. But LeBron's not going to shoot 7 in a row from the logo. You know what I mean? Like, there's a
ball. Maybe he should.
Well, he shot 41%.
I was going to say, he just had his best career shooting year. Maybe he should.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they win the title. LeBron just pulling up from mid-court. Everybody's like, wait a minute, what the hell?
I want to see him get one more shot, so I hope they can figure something out.
One more. Well, yeah, I want to see him in the finals, too. It's been like more than a decade of me watching him in the finals, basically.
I
so I would prefer that as well. All right, coming up next, we're going to jump back into the world of hockey with Megan Chayka.
With the first overall selection in the 2024 NHL draft, the San Jose Sharks are very proud to select from Boston University, Macklin Celebrini.
You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Joining us now is Megan Chayka. You've seen her on TSN or ESPN, also with Stathletes. Good morning, Megan. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I got to know, could you hear that Sharks fan that we just got a brief clip of there? Could you hear him when you were at the draft over the weekend?
I was pretty hot. I was up on the panel, so I wasn't that close to the seated area, but I could definitely hear a lot of commotion. It was an incredible night. It was electric in the sphere.
I didn't know if he stole some microphone and that's just how his voice was so prominent, but he was very, very excited. How was the draft in the sphere? How was that experience?
It was unbelievable. It was like nothing I've experienced. I mean, I've gone to a lot of drafts. I've gone to a lot of sporting events. This one was just, you know, top shelf. I really think the NHL outkicked their coverage. There was just so much electricity. And it was just so exciting for so many of the prospects that we're able to have, you know, walk up onto that stage and just see their faces being like miles high. It was just the coolest thing.
Did you have a favorite celebrity that came up to announce a pick?
I did. I loved Celine Dion. I mean, I'm Canadian as well, but she's like the most epic person. So for her to, you know, announce the Habs pick, it was just perfection for me.
Are you, do you think the NHL could come back to the Sphere next year? Because right now it's supposed to become a decentralized draft. I don't know if that just means it's going to be like a Zoom call, but like, do you think that could change and they could say, hey, that was pretty cool, let's do that again?
I mean, knock on wood, because I completely agree, it would be incredible. I think, you know, some of the other leagues have different styles, and it works well for broadcast or it works better for team personnel. So I'm sure they're looking at all the best options and trying to make everyone happy. But, you know, if you had my vote, I would be at the Sphere again.
Megan Chaka with us. I wanted to ask you this. Jonathan Marchessault, free agency is going to start here in less than 30 minutes. He hasn't agreed to a new contract with the Golden Knights. There have been reports that he is going to hit free agency and the Golden Knights are going to move on. Does that surprise you at all that Vegas would not find a way to keep Jonathan Marchessault?
I think the NHL, with the hard cap, you know, there's asset management that's involved in it. And sometimes walking away from amazing players too and moving on with your franchise. So either or, sometimes the best franchises have to turn over certain players to then, you know, re-engage the pipeline and be able to spend money effectively. So does Marchessault earn a lot of money? Yes, of course. But you don't always have that money to spend. So maybe there's a hard call that has to be made there. I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes, but I'm not entirely surprised.
The Knights have had a pretty good history. Like, the fans here aren't used to having bad years just because, you know, ever since they've existed, they've been pretty good. What's something they can do, you think, the Knights, to, if this does happen, to make up for it in the fans' eyes?
I think just keep replenishing the pipeline. I mean, you know, you have a Stanley Cup. I don't think you need to.
Right.
I'm from Toronto, so we always hear 1967. And, you know, there's a lot of franchises that wish they were in such great shape. So I think it's just, you know, continuing a little bit of tweaking here and there, bringing in players that are undervalued, you know, younger players too. It's always great to have those up-and-comers in your roster. And I think, you know, they drafted well as well. So that's always a great thing, because drafting and developing is a lot easier and cheaper than finding players in free agency. So, you know, from a lot of perspectives, they're doing a lot right, and they have done a lot right over the last, you know, just over half a decade. So I would not be complaining if I was a Vegas Golden Knights fan. If anything, I'd be cheering.
Only one cup. It's not enough. You got to win more than one. Come on. I did want to ask you about Steven Stamkos, because it appears he's leaving Tampa. There have been a couple reports the Golden Knights could be interested in Steven Stamkos. What do you think he's got left? He had a good season last year. He hasn't started to fall off, but he is 34. That could happen at some point. How good do you think Steven Stamkos is over the next, let's say, 3 or 4 years?
That's a tough one. I mean, the aging curve kind of comes for everyone. So he's at that age where you will see some decline. However, he has one of the best one-timers in the league. He's great on the power play. He has those elements that make him a fantastic hockey player and also a great leader. I just think it's a cost-benefit issue. So Tampa bringing in Gensel, that was sort of the writing on the wall that they're possibly trying to replace as much offense as they can with knowing Stamkos is leaving. And it'll just be like how the fit looks and what that term is. So maybe 2-3 years is a good deal for a team. But past that, I think you're going to run into a lot of problems.
If you were the Maple Leafs, how desperately would you be trying to trade Mitch Marner? Or do you think they're just going to have to try to run it back again with a talented team that hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, a lot of 31 teams every year don't get it done in the playoffs. I'm a big Mitch Marner fan. He's one of the best playmakers in the league. He's one of the top three that completes passes to the slot. He completes passes from behind the net. He's an incredibly great playmaker and makes time and space for all of his opponents around him, too. So, you know, I wouldn't be in a rush at all, to be honest. And I don't even think it's running it back. I think you need to build a different roster. You need goaltending. You need more depth on defense. So I think it's very easy to point the fingers at some of the stars, but I also think that there's, you know, a different way to look at it, and just trading a player because you feel like you need a shakeup is not necessarily the right move.
How much do you view, like, teams like the Maple Leafs or even like the Oilers, who came within one game of the Stanley Cup, who are good, they've been good for a while, they haven't won the Cup, there's been the playoff failures. How much do you view it as like it's small sample size once you get to the postseason and getting eliminated is not really this big referendum versus, hey, it's been 3, 4, 5, 6 years and this core hasn't gotten it done? Like, what's the right way to view a hockey team that like loses in the postseason despite clearly being good?
I think not overreacting, making tweaks when you can. I think it's like any sort of roster management and understanding like player development is you're always trying to incrementally improve. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's small sample sizes and it's also some luck, right? So, I mean, Connor McDavid was on the doorstep with an empty net. Leon Draisaitl had a backdoor tap and it didn't happen. They're not always going to miss those. So, I mean, it was very close to them taking a game seven and winning a Stanley Cup, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I think it's just like that continual improvement mindset and not letting just one game or one playoff dictate your next moves. You're always trying to be better no matter what. Even if you won the playoff, you're trying to be better, right? Even if you're hosting the Stanley Cup, you sign Sam Reinhart to a great deal, as the Florida Panthers just did. That's great, too.
Did you see Paul Maurice's shirt at the Stanley Cup parade yesterday?
I did. I loved it. I loved it. I love cats, so big fan.
I think we need more coaches bringing or having their pets involved in some kind of celebration.
I completely agree with you, and I think Paul Maurice is just an excellent human being all around, and I think coaching had a lot to do with that deep run they had and the year-over-year success.
Well, she is Megan Chayka, again, from Stathletes, but you've also seen her on ESPN or TSN. Megan, as always, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
So there's Megan Chayka on the NHL. Did you see Paul Maurice's shirt?
No, but, you know, if everybody brought their pets in Florida, it would look like they actually had a parade. What was there, about 13 people there?
Why are you hating on the Florida Panthers?
I don't know. I just don't like Florida.
Oh, you got something wrong with the whole state?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. There's not a warrant for your arrest there, is there?
Oh, there probably will be eventually, but no, eventually? I don't think so right now.
Okay, that's good. So Paul Maurice, head coach of the Panthers, had a shirt, and it's the Panthers logo on the front, but one of his cat's faces was photoshopped on the head of the Panther.
All right, I like it.
And then on the back, they have like an alternate logo with a panther jumping.
Yeah. It was his cat.
And his other cat's face was photoshopped on that one, so he had both of his cat's faces photoshopped. I think he said his daughter made it for him. And he said, if we win the Stanley Cup, I will wear that shirt.
All right, I like it now.
And then they won the Stanley Cup, and he had his cat's faces on his shirts. And I'm on board with this.
Still had an embarrassing parade, but I like the shirt.
That's fine. All parades are embarrassing.
You don't like parades?
No.
Tyler hates
Have you been
parades.
On this show before? Parades are the dumbest thing.
Why?
That's why he's very upset that he's missing the 4th of July parade this week.
Upset about what? Why would you ever attend a parade?
Well, I don't know, to celebrate something.
Yeah, but what are you doing? You're sitting
drinking
by the street while some cars drive by. And like in the case of a championship parade, it's like maybe two vehicles with your favorite players on it. You're getting 2 minutes of enjoyment while you're sitting on the street.
It's a way to show, you know, hey, thanks for making our city proud, you know?
To who?
To the team.
No.
Man, I'm telling you right now. When Jason Kelce wore that Mummers costume and gave that speech in Philadelphia, it was one of the greatest days in the history of sports.
You weren't even there.
Well, I watched it.
Yeah, from the comfort of your own house or hotel, wherever the hell you live.
Yeah, but me watching other people be uncomfortable like made me feel good.
From the comfort of your own living room. Yes.
It's true. But if there was no other people willing to do that for me, see, they're sacrificing for me.
Right, that's my point. They're sacrificing. It's stupid. Why would you want to be there? You shouldn't want to be there. It's dumb. All parades are dumb.
What about the Christmas parade when Santa comes at the end?
Even worse.
You don't like that one?
No, because I don't care about half the things that are in that parade.
Yeah, I used to hate that when I was a kid. I'm like, when's Santa coming? Like, oh, don't worry about it. Here comes, you know, whatever's plumbing. I'm like, I don't care about this.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Even those are even worse. They're longer.
They are longer.
And you don't care about anything.
The Mummers one's good, though. Everybody gets hammered. Wears cool costumes.
I don't know. I don't think
You'd
so.
You'd like it.
I don't think so.
Tyler hates all parades.
I would be in the parade.
So, like, if you were on a float, you'd like
if
it.
If I was, yes, because if I'm in the parade, then I'm just waving at people and they're yelling and cheering for, yeah, of course, I'd be in the parade. I don't want to attend a parade.
Next year, we need to get you in the parade and just start drinking and throwing, like, 4th of July beads everywhere.
Oh, no, not the 4th of July. It's too damn hot here. I'm not some summer parade in Vegas. No chance.
So if the Aces were like, hey, Tyler, we want you to be on our float or whatever for the parade.
Yeah, because they win the title in like August.
Yeah.
The parade, yeah. September, I think, is actually when
the finals are. It's still going to be 97 degrees outside.
That's fine. It'll be at night. They do it at night usually. Oh, okay. That's good. But so this 4th of July thing Danny's trying to get me in.
Halloween parade.
What, do I got to go to Boulder City on the 4th of July when it's 117 degrees
out?
It
ends in a water fight.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on Tyler's side now.
No, it's a great one.
Anytime Danny likes something, I hate it.
It's generally a good
That's
good
not true bet. Because you put me on your Mount Rushmore of awesome
no,
people.
No, you are awesome. I'm just saying that your opinions are terrible sometimes.
Yeah, they're bad. They're pretty bad. Usually, if Danny thinks something, you should just immediately take the opposite, and you're in good shape.
Still love Danny.
You're good to go.
Just saying.
All right, we got tickets to give away to go to some boxing. This is going to be great because I don't know how to pronounce the last names. Two tickets to Top Rank Boxing at the Palm Saturday night, July 13th. It's the Unified Middleweight World Championship. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster. You can win a pair from us right now. Janabek versus Mikhailovich. I think that's right. I don't trust myself with pronunciations, though. So if you want to go to see some top-ranked boxing at the Palms, call in now, 702-364-1100. That is the phone number. Caller number 4 is going to see Janabek versus Mikhailovich, 702-364-1100. Caller number 4.
Now back to the press box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good job by Danny there, killing the game. He's yelling about a fantasy baseball trade and didn't realize we were coming back from commercial.
Yes.
Featuring Greg Salerno.
Thank you, Tyler. At least somebody here respects me.
All right. I got to read a tweet.
Hey, you were in the open.
All right. It's fine. I don't deserve respect anyway. Sorry. Go ahead.
I got to read a tweet. This is from Pierre LeBrun. If the Predators can finalize things with Jonathan Marchessault, hearing his deal with Nashville will be 5 years and around $5.5 million per year.
Wow.
Wow.
That is unbelievably cheap for Jonathan Marchessault. Every single time we talked about this contract during the season, but also after the Golden Knights got eliminated, it was like $7 million was the starting point. And the conversations we had was, would he take a hometown discount? And the general consensus was, well, he probably would. We just don't know exactly how much he'd be willing to take. But every single conversation was about a $7 million a year deal. And he might be signing with another team for $5.5 million per season.
Is there a chance that he's leaking this out so that the Knights see it and they're like, whoa, okay, maybe we should.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we should talk.
I would guess they would have already told the Golden Knights that.
Yeah.
Like, because, again, from everything that's been reported, he wants to stay. He has said he wants to stay.
Right.
And that's why the whole hometown discount thing has been talked about, how much less would he take to play here versus somewhere else, and all of that. The 5 years is a lot. Jonathan Marchessault's 33. He'll be 38 when a five-year contract ends. The 5 years is a lot, and that's probably why the Golden Knights wouldn't sign this contract, as they say we don't want to do the 5 years. So that's probably the answer. But at $5.5 million, that's going to be a tough thing to sell to the fan base as to why Jonathan Marchessault is not a Golden Knight. If he had signed somewhere else for $8 million dollars, you would have been like, all right, it's $8 million. 5.5 is kind of nothing. I mean, the Golden Knights right now have 4 forwards and 2 defensemen making more than $5.5 million.
Jeez.
He would not be one of the 6 highest paid players on the team at $5.5 million, and they're going to let him walk.
What if he went just below, like, let's say 4.7, and but you had to give him the 5th year and you're the Knights? You're doing that?
If he's willing to sign for 4.7,
but you give him 5 and he gets the hometown.
Yes. 4.7 is nothing.
Well, then this is pretty close and the same.
I honestly, if this is what the contract is, Pierre LeBrun again tweeted this out. His potential deal with Nashville is 5 years and $5.5 million. I'm stunned that it's $5.5 million for another team.
I
thought if Marchessault actually hit free agency, we were talking at least $7 million per season. But if it's going to be $5.5 million, that's pretty bad from the Golden Knights.
It's also a PR hit to the fan, you know, from the fans' point of view.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, we do this?
I mean, one of the first reply I see on Twitter from a Golden Knights fan is, how couldn't we pay this?
Right. Exactly.
Right. The other one is, that's it.
I mean, I guess in a way, could it tell you though what teams think of him at this point? If he's only, you know, if he's only getting that.
Maybe.
Much?
I mean, maybe at the end of the day, but yeah, that's bizarre. Because again, to go back to the conversation we had earlier about the Golden Knights like replacing guys with younger players and doing it and getting the replacement before they let the player go.
Right.
Which is what they've done with Barbashev over Riley Smith, Eichel over Pacioretty, Leonard over Fleury. They technically did get Tomas Hertl, and they're letting Marchessault walk. Here's the thing. Tomas Hertl, his cap hit for the Golden Knights is going to be $6.8 million, right? So that's more money than what Marchessault is apparently going to make. And Hertl's under contract until he's 36. Like, they've got no problem paying Tomas Hertl until he's 36, but they're having a hang-up on Marchessault until he's 38. Hertl's coming off a knee injury, wasn't very good, and fun fact, they had to give up a first-round pick to get Tomas Hertl. Two first-round picks to get Tomas Hertl. Like, if their plan was to replace Marchessault with Hertl, they gave up picks. He's coming out. Bad. That's bad. That's not good.
I can't imagine this is the end of this then. I have to think that they're going to see this, or they know this already, and they've talked to him or something. Because this sounds like somebody's leaking this to make the fans, you know, get kind of riled up.
Maybe.
I mean,
maybe it is. Free agency in the NHL opens in less than 5 minutes. So we'll see what exactly happens, how quickly. The good part about NHL free agency, it happens in a hurry.
Right.
Like, the absolute funniest part about hockey is that everybody in the entire league is like, all right, free agency starts on July 1st. We have vacations planned for July 3rd. So we need to get this wrapped up now. So let's start making these deals. So there's a real, I mean, listen, if Pierre LeBrun's already tweeting out the years and the potential salary, there's a chance Jonathan Marchessault is signed with Nashville before our show ends.
Right.
You are right. There could be more to this. The Golden Knights could end up saying, yep, let's make that happen. But I'm guessing he's not. I'm guessing this is Jonathan Marchessault's gone and it's $5.5 million. God, that I'm blown away by how low that number is.
I can't wait to read, you know, Twitter and all these social medias to see what's going on with this.
You can do it right now if you want.
That's true.
We might just take a break from the show and start doing just it the rest of the time. So there you go.
Also, I know Golden Knights have kind of been linked with Stamkos. According to LeBrun, he's on the verge of a 4-year, $8 million contract with Nashville as well.
Yeah.
So Nashville is getting everyone.
They are signing everybody. Faith, I'm sorry I haven't given you the word of the day this hour. The word of the day is island. It's the summer of fun from ESPN Las Vegas and Planet Fitness. Today's code word is island, I-S-L-A-N-D. Almost forgot the D. Would have screwed all of you over there. Island is the word. This week's trip is to Vegas. You can go to the Sphere. There's a hotel stay involved. You're getting a high roller observation wheel. Here's the key, though, for all of these trips. If you win it, you don't want it. You're like, hey, I already live here. You can take $2,000 in cash instead. So yeah, you can take the trip to Vegas. There does $1,000 spending cash included if you get the trip to Vegas. But if you win it, you're like, I'm already here. Just give me the cash. $3,000 could be yours as well. So text ISLAND to 702-364-1100. ISLAND is the code word to 702-364-1100. Good luck. Jonathan Marchessault might be signing for $5.5 million somewhere else. I don't know what his code word is to go to Nashville.
I think Tyler might make more than Marchessault this year.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
Genuinely, stunningly low amount. If that's what this ends up being, genuinely stunning. He was making $5 million on his last contract.
I'm not buying it.
He won the Conn Smythe and is coming off his highest career or highest goal-scoring season ever. And he's going to get a $500,000 raise?